Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
The NCAA has released a statement on the early reveal of the Division I women's basketball bracket that was released by ESPN. By the way, Oregon State had a selection viewing party that they canceled. Oregon had a party as well scheduled. They have canceled it. Portland State has informed me that their party at 3:30 will still go on. The Vikings are going to party like it's St. Patrick's Day on this Monday, because they're in the big dance and they're not going to lose that. The statement from the NCAA comes like this. Quote, an unfortunate technical error by ESPN revealed the 2019 NCAA Division I Women's Basketball Championship bracket earlier today. We regret the network's mistake and we're working with our partners at ESPN to prevent similar errors in future years. We look forward to collaborating with ESPN to bring fans exciting women's basketball tournament coverage throughout the remainder of the championship end game. Can ESPN give us the scores of the opening round games? Maybe they can provide those early too. Just saying. U.S. Senator Ron Wyden has been an outspoken proponent and an ally of Enos Kanter, new trailblazer. He's going to join us now from his car. If you have been following the Enos Kanter situation, his father is back in Turkey and is on trial, facing 10 years in prison. President Erdogan, the president of Turkey, who is a polarizing figure, controversial figure, has put Enos Kanter's father on trial. Yes, there's a lot going on in the world of sports, but I want to get to the world of the world. Ron Wyden, U.S. Senator. How you doing, Senator Wyden?
I'm well. How about you? You aren't laughing for stuff to write about, man.
Yeah, these ducks, they won't die. People in Vegas kept saying, this team will not go away.
I just love that dunk at the, we didn't get any recognition in the league, and he was like, just going, we are here. I thought that was just great.
Well, let's talk about Enos Kanter. What's going on with him? And you've taken a real active role there, and I think a lot of Blazer fans and people interested in social justice appreciate that. But what's the latest?
Well, the latest, of course, is that Erdogan is just pulling out all the stops to hassle Enos. I mean, that's what the whole so-called trial with his dad is all about. You know, what Erdogan is up to is he's been trying to say Enos is a terrorist. Well, there's no evidence of that. Then he sees Enos doing quaint idea, exercising his rights of free expression. He says, no, we're not going to do any of that. So he hassles his dad. I mean, his dad is hassled for one reason, and that is that it's related to Enos. So I'm going to the game tonight with my son, and going to see Enos, and you know, anybody asks me tonight, I'm just going to say, in Rip City, if you got a bully in town, you know, we push back, and that's what we're doing. We're pushing back. We're trying to expose it. We're going to speak out about it. And we're going to use all the channels that I'm trying to do with the State Department and Trump officials to say, not on our watch. I don't know of any other athlete who's being treated this way.
When you think about this case, and I know we've seen other countries where you see dictators or you see social injustice in other countries, and we all think about it happening over there. I think the reason why this resonates is we identify a face, a name, a person. How frustrating is it for you to try to deal with a country that you know is operating under a different set of ethics and standards?
This, John, in my view, is right out of the dictatorship playbook. I mean, this is what they do. They try to make sure particularly young people who are widely respected, who are in influential fields like sports and the forum you get, they want to do everything they can to gag them, to censor them. And by by the way, you've probably seen what I'm doing with the Saudis as well. I mean, these are dictators who basically think they're above the law. And, certainly we saw that with China and Tiananmen Square. We've seen that with the Saudis. And that's what we're up against with Erdogan.
What's the recourse here beyond saying, hey, look, we will push back? Do you get support from the White House? What is the country's official position on this?
Our country right now and the Trump administration is just bobbing and weaving, trying to deal with these issues. You've seen the way they dealt with Khashoggi and the Saudis. I finally pushed so hard that Customs and Border Patrol to open an investigation into these practices. And I'm going to stay with that as it relates to Ennis, because I think that what he wants to do, and he'd like to meet with Donald Trump, he'd like to meet with these prominent Trump officials and talk to them about freedom, talk to them about why he thinks it's important to express himself. And I'm going to tell the Trump people, you guys are always saying you're the tough guy, you're the people who are the strongest guy on the block. Well, if you're this type of case, and meet with somebody who's really making a lot of sacrifices to stand up for freedom.
We're talking to U.S. Senator Ron Wyden here about the Ennis Cantor situation. How much danger is his dad in? What's your understanding of the process in that country?
What I can tell you is that, of course, these dictatorships, they don't have stuff broadcast on C-SPAN. It's not something where Canzano and Wyden can sit by their TV set and express somebody to bang a gavel. They're really shrouded in secrecy. Everything they do is designed to create this kind of big bureaucratic fog. But certainly the history is that people can disappear overnight. And I think what Ennis feels is that both his dad, and that's why he's so reluctant to be in touch, and in his own situation, live hour by hour with this kind of fear for the worst. And I just want folks to know I'm going to stay at it till we cut through this kind of fog and find out what's going on and make sure that his family's safe.
How aware were you of all of this in sort of before he comes to the Trailblazers? Is it on your radar at that point? Or once he enters this state, do you say, look, I'm gonna champion because he's an Oregonian at this point?
Well, I knew a bit about the scene back east. He's been on a couple of clubs. He's a talent very much in demand. But I have to tell you, it didn't really hit me as directly until he came to our community. Oregon is a place where we value free speech, where we value free expression. That, by the way, is what I call the Oregon way. You have Tom McCall, Mark Hatfield, people are always asking me, John, what do you have in Democrat on the phone? Let me praise those two as being strong proponents of freedom of expression, freedom of speech. I think they'd be doing just what I'm doing.
All right. I wish you the best. I appreciate what you're doing. I think I speak for a lot of people who are saying, that feel powerless, that it's refreshing to see somebody in your position sort of take the flag on this and carry it. And I hope, what is the end game here? Does his dad want to come to the United States? Is it just calling attention to what's going on in that country? What's the ultimate resolution here?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, we don't want Erdogan to be able to use these extraordinary powers to get at the safety of Ennis on day to day. You've been talking about using Interpol, a variety of these kinds of approaches. So, the end game here is, in my view, getting Ennis in front of Donald Trump, getting him in front of these key officials so that we can, make sure that this fella, an honest man who has had his passport, stripped, has family harassed. I mean, Turkish government has encouraged other countries to arrest him, to restrict his travel. I want those practices to end.
Thank you.
All right, John, look for you tonight.
Ron Wyden, U.S. Senator, talking about the Ennis Cantor situation. Can't imagine being in that kind of situation and having his family members be persecuted for some of the things that he has said publicly. But that's a situation that we're in, and hopefully the United States will galvanize, and hopefully Enes Kanter's father will be all right in the end. I felt important to bring Senator Wyden on the show. Oregon State, Portland State women, all in the women's tournament. University of Oregon men's team in the men's NCAA bracket, joining two other Pac-12 teams. I'm going to give you my five-star, you don't want to miss this matchup of the men's and women's brackets coming up in the next segment of radio. You got the bald-faced truth statewide on the BFT radio network. Plenty going on in the world right now. Plenty going on. Apparently there are a bunch of sturgeon stuck in a lake on Savi Island after the water levels dropped. That's news. The Washington woman who shoved a friend from the bridge in that viral video. Remember that video? She has pled guilty to a crime. You've got a teenager in West Lynn who's suing the West Lynn City Council president. if you've ever been around West Lynn High School during a sporting event or otherwise, you know parking is not ample in that neighborhood. So the West Lynn City Council had a big hoo-ha over the parking situation around the high school. And so this teenager in West Lynn took a big interest in it. He noticed that the West Lynn City Council president was jotting down notes during the meeting. He did a public records request for her notes. He wanted to know what she was writing on her notepad. She refused to turn them over, and it turns out that those are subject to a public records request. So this teenager's got the city council president on the line for a lawsuit.
Good for him. Look at that.
Look at that guy. Let's get him on the show. Also, the driver. Remember the driver who hit the protester in downtown Portland?
Yep.
Criminal case dismissed. Throw it out, saying, hey, while you don't want to be running over protesters, the 55-year-old driver who was accused of hurting a downtown Portland protester got the charges dismissed. Basically, they contended that the protesters were the ones violating the law. They were impeding traffic. And it probably wasn't a severe enough injury for it to escalate beyond that. The guy had some bruises on his shins or something. If you get bruises on your shins, don't you expect that as a protester when you're going out? Like, when you leave the house, I might get bruises on my shins today.
Is that part of the job?
I'm not making light. Don't call. Don't write me. I'm not making fun of hurting protesters. But I also know that other protesters cleared out of the way of this guy's car. We've all seen the video. They got out of the way of his car. It was a very low collision incident. It was captured on the dash camera of his car. Guy had no criminal history. Client was innocent. Blah, blah, blah. So there you go. He's not facing charges anymore. And that's good, I think. Everyone would like to move on. 9 students have been expelled at a Vancouver middle school. 9 students. Apparently, there was a confrontation at a basketball tournament that blew up. It was all-district 8th grade basketball tournament at Geiser Middle School in Vancouver. The expelled boys and girls came from various schools. The students were all between the ages of 13 and 15. And apparently, it just broke out in a big fight. One student confronted another student in the stands. Security officers moved to remove the students from the gym. As security staff took the students out of the gym, students followed them into the hallway and they interfered with the removal. Then it escalated and then it involved multiple schools. And at that point, you had 60 middle schoolers closed in around 3 deputies and a staff member. And they were cursing. They were yelling racial slurs, according to the reports. And they were threatening to kill the officers, according to Clark County Sheriff's Office. This happened in the daylight, because in my mind, this happened at night when people had lost their, and I don't know what the difference in my mind is between it being day or night, but in my mind, I had this away from like school activities, but apparently this is like during school activity that spilled over to an after school activity that spilled over to a bunch of people getting arrested. 9 people expelled from their schools. 9 kids. Hopefully they learned something in the process. But all that's going on. Also, if you're paying attention during this show, you know that the women's NCAA basketball tournament got the air let out of it when ESPN made a mistake and accidentally put the brackets up 3 hours before they were supposed to on ESPNU. Too many people saw it. Social media is too good today. And so ESPN scrambled very quickly to move the selection show up. Should ESPN have moved the selection show up? That's a good question. Are you compounding an error by going, look, we put it out there. Yes, a segment of the audience that is privy to social media is, they know the secrets out of the bag. They know the seedings. But did they undermine the celebrations on those individual campuses by going public with this news? Should they have just said, look, we screwed up, but we're going to do it anyway at 4 o'clock?
They should have said we're going to do it at 4 o'clock and yeah. let these parties and celebrations go. And, you know, most of the people might have known, but I would have played it that way. And I don't even know how much they're mentioning that they did screw this up. Like,
no,
they're
not
acting like they might have mentioned it in the very beginning, but I don't think they've mentioned
they're
it
not
again.
Owning it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they should have just done it at 4 o'clock because you know what they could have gone with is like there would have been some reasonable doubt out there as to like, was that really the bracket? So there still would have been some suspense at 4 o'clock. Like, even though they put it up and, you know, they could have said nothing, gone on as business as usual, and just made the announcement at 4 o'clock, let Oregon State and Oregon and Portland State, which all had parties scheduled. And by the way, the one at Portland State is still on at 3:30 in the Viking Pavilion. But everybody who had a party scheduled should have just let them enjoy that moment. That's part of the moment for the student athlete. As long as you're not paying the student athlete, at least give them the real experience.
And I think it's good for Portland State to still have their party because, you know, they can really promote going down to Eugene. Oregon and Oregon State, they're not going anywhere. They're staying there. So I think it's a great idea to really push the fans to try and get down there.
I love what Oregon State did too on social media. They released a photograph that was a file photo from a prior announcement from prior years saying, we're so excited to be in the tournament and be a 4 seed. And well played by Oregon State's social media team. I got to give them credit there. Also, Oregon has just canceled theirs. They just said, hey, we're not going to do it because the suspense is gone. We're playing Portland State. And by the way, when you're a high seed in this tournament, like you're a 1 seed or a 2 seed, yeah, you know, I thought Landon Lucas did a nice job early in the show sort of outlining the mentality. He said it was all business in the opening rounds. Like, for all of us, Thursday and Friday are amazing days, right? Upsets and whatever. If you're Kansas in the era that Landon Lucas played, if you're Duke this year or Virginia or UNC, even Michigan State, there's a tremendous amount of pressure on you not to blow this opportunity to go into this NCAA tournament and to deliver on the level that you were expected to deliver on. And I think that's something that I really didn't think about until today when Landon Lucas said, you know, those opening rounds, it's for, you know, for the rest of us. You know, he played at Kansas, played 4 years at Kansas, made the Elite Eight twice, was the number one overall seed at Kansas 1 year of his years. It's a tremendous amount of pressure.
Well, look at what Virginia's done. I mean, they just haven't done anything. They keep losing in that first or second round.
And Gonzaga, too, right?
Yeah.
Gonzaga hasn't really, except for the Final Four a couple years ago.
Yep.
The Gonzaga's history is people don't trust him when they have the bracket in front of you. You love Gonzaga right up until the bracket's in front of you. And then you start going, are they going to beat?
Because you got to pick an upset.
Yeah. Will Syracuse get them? Will Florida State get them?
You know, if you go through the brackets and you want to win, or if you do a massive bracket that's something like on a, you know, a large scale, you've got to pick that upset. Otherwise, you have no chance.
You've got to pick the upset, but don't pick too many.
Yeah.
There's the balance, right?
Yeah.
Because I've seen people just ruin their brackets by going like, why did you pick every upset? Like, so you've got to be really selective in picking a handful of games. And one trick that I like to do with my bracket is I will like to I like to pick an upset that is protected, meaning you see somebody you really like in one of the regions that you're going to pick to go all the way through. If I'm going to pick an opening round upset, it's going to be a team that's going to play one of those teams that I really like. So if I'm wrong about the upset, it only hurts me for one or two rounds, right? Doesn't knock out your whole bracket.
Yeah, you got to be careful on that.
Yeah, you're not picking Duke to lose in the opening round, okay? But you can pick somebody in Duke's bracket to get upset. Like, you could pick Michigan State to get upset, and that wouldn't kill you, because when they get down to the Elite Eight round, most people are going to have Duke winning that anyway. So it doesn't kill you to have that kind of upset. But I look for opportunities that are protected like that. All right, I promised you my can't-miss, must-see games. Portland, I'm talking to you now, because the women's NCAA basketball tournament is coming to the state of Oregon. It's going to be at Moda Center. The the Sweet 16, the regional on, will be held here in Portland. And I love the bracket that Oregon is in. That Portland regional is loaded with interesting teams and talent. And of course, Oregon and Portland State will square off in that opening round game. But the one seed in the West is Mississippi State. The two seed is Oregon. Oregon already beat Mississippi State. I think they are on a collision course to play for a right to go to the Final Four. That will be at Moda Center. That is going to be a must-see event. So I don't care if you have girls or boys in your family or who it is. I think you try to get yourself a ticket to see some basketball at Moda Center and support the Ducks and support Portland State and support whoever it is that you see playing in that bracket when all is said and done. All right, grab a podcast of this show on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, Apple Podcast. Wherever you listen to your podcast, it's available. Alabama Adriana and her team do a terrific job podcasting the individual interviews as well as the show itself. I appreciate those of you who subscribe and give us a rating. We're back.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.